Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. My name is Scott McKenzie, but you know that because you're listening to the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. That is my... Yeah, that's what I'm sticking to. That's my message right there, baby. And thank you very much. This platform is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly. We need you more than ever. Boy, do we need you more than ever. Do not pull back. Let's keep pushing. Pushing along. We've got a great interview. His name is John Fortin. Good friend. Jacobs Engineering is the company. Great company. And you know what we're going to be talking about? It's so needed. The need to harness new ways of managing change for a positive return on investment. Oh, how about that? Is there any change going on out there? Oh, I think so. Is there any sort of uncertainty? Absolutely. But we're industrial professionals. That's what we're all about. Before we get into it, I want to be able to point out, because once again, we need to collaborate because you don't have all the answers. So you need to find people who do have the answers and then start knitting it together. We need to innovate, not just from a technology point of view, but also from a human capital point of view, as well as your business and everything else. Everything needs to be sort of looked at it from the goggles of innovation. We need to learn and learn some more. There are some people out there that are just sharing content that will change the way you look at business. And that's what we're all about. We got to do that. And then we got to take action, because it doesn't make any sense if you don't take all this great stuff and you don't take any action. You're going to have to do it with a sense of urgency and speed. You're going to have to be nimble. You're going to have to be agile and be able to do that. And you're going to have to feel comfortable with failing, because you're going to do that. Because if you're moving forward, you have the potential of maybe failing. But that's okay, because that's what's all, you know, this learning's all about. You got to do it. Now is the time. Everybody understands it. And we need you to step up to the plate along the learning and innovation and collaboration and taking action. It's wrapped up in a conference. It is a virtual conference. It is brought to you by IIoT World. Now, their website is IIoT-World. And if you go out to their their website right there, boom, you can find it. It is May 21st, 2020, and it is at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. And the conference is the virtual conference. You better start feeling. And if you want to continue to learn, here is an opportunity to learn from the very, very, very best. Be ready to scale digital for manufacturing 4.0. Yeah. Through challenging times. And if you think digitization is going away, well, no, it's not. You better learn as much as you possibly can, because people are going to be leveraging it. And you know who is it sponsored by? Yeah, Hitachi Vantara. And you're saying to yourself, Scott, that is amazing stuff. Yeah, Hitachi Vantara is sponsoring that event. They are a company that's committed to your success. They are passionate about this world of digitization. And they want you to learn as much as they possibly can. And you're saying, Scott, hey, man, I don't have the money. It's free. You have no excuses. You have got to learn. That is, once again, a great conference brought to you by IIoT World, sponsored by Hitachi Vantara. And it is May 21st, and it is at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm looking at my other screen because I have to get that information out there accurately. All right, the other thing that you need to know, you go out to industrialtalk.com. We've got a page that is specific to just how do you align your customer with your value proposition, right? And what are the gaps, and what do you need to focus on? Because you could sit there in this world, in this whole thing, and get distracted by everything and not make any progress, because everything seems to be critical. Here is a way of being able to identify what is truly important and what you can sort of, you know, fluff off a little bit right now, because you're in the business. You're in the business of solving problems for your customer, and boy, do they have problems today. So let's figure that out. Take that particular, I guess it's a questionnaire form, whatever it might be. We'll help you through it. No big deal, no cost. It's all there for you. All right. John Fortin is his name. This is the interview. John Fortin is his name as I toggle through. I want to make sure I get all of his information. He is with Jacobs Engineering, of course, and he is the global technology lead, asset management, with that fine organization. And once again, we're going to be talking about change management. We're going to be, and what he's going to be doing is he's interviewing a number of leaders on what to do and how to do it. And is that relevant or what today? I'm just stunned that he was already out there doing this. So we're going to start this whole process and the need to harness new ways, big time, innovate, of managing change, innovate for a positive return on investment. That's what we need to do. This is John with Jacob. Enjoy the interview. John Fortin, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. You're exceptional in my life.
Thank you. How's that? You too, bro. You too.
Yeah, you are, man. I always have a great time. Thank you very much. I mean, you were a busy guy, and then COVID hit, and then you're just sort of stuck at your house like everybody else. So yes. That's the only way I was able to get a hold of you is because, well, all of a sudden, John's like flitting around all around the world doing big thinking stuff. He's just the dude now. He's just like every normal person now.
With my family in the background.
Yeah, who cares? It's funny. You know, with this whole this virus dealio, nobody really cares. At least you put on a button-down shirt and you combed your hair. There are other people that I just get on. It's like, hello, let's invest a little bit of energy in it. I didn't even brush my teeth. What are we talking about?
I know I've been on a lot of calls with my company too, and that's the same thing. People are in their pajamas. They've got the baby on their lap. You know, they got the dog in the background, and
you just roll with it. It's like, eh, whatever. It's my COVID fashion for now. By the way,
new normal.
Yeah, it's the new normal. So I've coined COVID 25. I'm gaining 25 pounds, whether I like it or not, and I'm inviting everybody else to join me. It's a combination of eating bad and drinking a lot.
Oh yeah, well, we're all in the same boat anyway.
Clearly, it's type 2 diabetes is just going to go through the roof, and I'll be I'm the one that's carrying the flag apparently because I fell in love with barbecue chips.
Yeah, the dietitians love at the end of this.
Yeah, but hey, your wife is a dietitian, right? Isn't she?
Yeah, she's a wellness nurse, and so yes, she's keeping us in shape here. Yeah,
that's right. But I'm feeling depressed, honey. Can I just have that bottle? I'm sorry, dear. You can't have that bottle. I'm all about wellness right now.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we have plenty of fruit and vegetables. Trust me.
Okay, for the listeners, now that we've been Bradford, I know John, and I know him well. He's a lot of fun. You got to listen to him. He's got wisdom. Give us a little background on who you are there, John, because I love your stat card out there. And shoot away.
Sure thing. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, I'm John Fortin. I'm the global technology lead for asset management at Jacobs. My history is I spent 5-6 years boots in the ground, implementing big change processes. Learned a lot about what works and what doesn't, working with unions. I published a book in 2016, Why Execution Fails and What to Do About It. And I just published a second edition with a whole chapter on executive sponsorship. So even though I'm a mechanical engineer, I find myself working with top down, bottom up folks implementing change. And so that seems to be what I am these days, is a change guy, even though I'm a mechanical engineer in the background.
Yeah, we're all about change, especially now we're all about change. My goodness, if there isn't change happening out there, we're in this boat. So I think the conversation we're going to have is quite pertinent to what I mean. I've read your book. I've talked to you. He is an author. He has a great book. And I love Why Executions Fail, because they do quite frequently. And now we're in a in between, I don't know what we call this time right now, quarantine time, where we're going to have to execute upon a lot of new strategies. We're going to have to do it, and we're going to have to do it with some level of confidence. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the book was written around executing big strategic initiatives, big high failure rate, 70% out there. I just published, I'm doing some research actually, on a concept called the need for a chief change officer, someone to manage these big implementations to get the millions or billions of dollars that are lost from failed implementations. So timeliness is very good. The study, I've been talking to a lot of executives globally, and they all say it's very timely. And of course, I think it's the new normal that we have to go back to. So we're going to be doing work a little differently. How do we manage change? I mean, we're talking about change today, every day, since mid-March here, and then going forward, you know. So it's, you know, and the research I'm doing and what I'm hearing today is, maybe I'll coin it for today's call, you know, the modern change manager, because there's a lot of information out there from Carter, Prasai, and other wonderful books and stuff like that about changing. But, you know, it's so different today, and the generational gaps we have. You know, back in the past, it was really top-down, do as I say, military change, where today you've got these, all these generations intermixed, and people want to be part of that change and the technologies like we're doing today. So it's really timely, and going back to work is going to be very much different. And so I'm working even within Jacobs on an internal committee to, you know, help clients think about that change, you know, going back to work, if you will.
Yeah, because it's all change. I mean, I mean, if you think that you're gonna continue to do business as usual pre-virus versus this whatever post-virus world we're gonna live in, you got a rude awakening, because it's all about change. And is there a, I mean, there's, you know, I've been a part of organizations where we talked about change all the time, right? Change, change, change. Nothing really changed. We just talked about the change. Now we really have to execute upon the change. Is there a speed component to change?
I think it depends. You know, my research is telling me it depends on, you know, what industry you're in. So if you're in manufacturing or IT, I mean, you're changing every day to keep ahead of the competition. If you're with government, you know, it might be a 3, 4, 5 year change period. So what's coming out of the research I'm doing, is that I'm interviewing about 15 to 20 executives across the globe, various industries. And so at the end of the research, I'm hoping to come up with a white paper. Again, the speed of change I'm seeing, it really depends on where you are.
Now, given the fact that you conducted these interviews, and this is a white paper, what is it?
Okay, so it's a research, it's a thought leadership research on the back of an asset management session that got canceled. It was supposed to be in Australia next week. And so the intent is to capture the themes out of these 15 interviews, consolidate them into a white paper, bring the white paper to larger audiences, say 100 to 200 people at a time at these various conferences, get their input into what we think the themes are. And then at the end of it, I was hoping to have 500 data points around sort of the new, or the modern change manager. So the output is supposed to be an updated, you know, thinking or thought piece on change management.
Now, a lot of the interviews occurred pre-virus.
Yes, they did.
And is that a sort of the elephant in the room type thing with your interviews?
No, actually, I would say, I think I've done 12 or 13 to date. I've got a couple over the next couple of weeks. I'd say half of the interviews before and half have been after. And so even before, it's very timely for a lot of folks. There's a lot of transformation going on. There's a lot of generational change going on with the baby boomers retiring. And so how do you deal with the new generations coming in? And so, I think it's always, I found in the 15 years I've been sort of working in this space that there's always been a need. But I'll tell you, somebody in one of my interviews said, hey, you know, in the past we treated change like, you know, sitting at a campfire eating marshmallows, like it's all soft stuff. And today we know so much, and we should be really being very strategic and tactical around change. And so what they've challenged me to do is to come out of this research with a maturity model with detailed, you know, ways of addressing change. And so blending together the different models that are out there, you've got the John Carter, you've got Prasai, you know, a lot of different companies have their own models. So I'm hoping to come out of this thing with something that's really robust and slick and be able to help come to where you are.
Have there been some common themes when you interview these executives on maybe some of the concerns they see, or has there been some commonality with some of their messages?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you asked. I'm not completely done putting together all of my research themes. Yeah, I mean, most people, there's a series of 10 questions, but I always ask them about, have they ever had any change management training? To date, zero formal change management. It's been on-the-job training, which is like someone like myself has received. They've all experienced failed and successful projects. And some of the common themes around that is having good leadership, you know, being able to set the vision in the beginning, have the vision managed throughout the change initiative. Some people forget about the change initiative. There's always typically a business plan in place, expected ROI. Really, I think formal training, executive sponsorship, treat the change like a, I call it a capital construction project, where how do you build something? You've got a scope, a schedule, a budget, a project manager, and a cross-functional team to build that building. So if we think of change in that same way as a construction project, which we don't, I think it's a very systematic process that I've done in the past, and it's actually worked.
I mean, when you say change management training, where would I go? I mean, where would I go get my training? Because I you're absolutely right. I mean, it's like, okay, go get some change management training. It's like, okay,
where do I go? So what I'll say about to that is, I had a really good conversation with the University of Wisconsin earlier today, is that the PROSCI ADCAR methodology.
Hold it. You're going to have to spell that. Spell, what is it?
Well, the company is called PROSCI. Don't ask me to spell it.
Okay, never mind. I just wanted to slow it down. For whatever reason, I heard COSCI, and I'm going, no. Okay.
PROSCI is the name of the company. And they're formally doing, and it's what it really is, individual change. So how do I change and adapt John Fortin to the new business normal in my company? Where the other model is sort of the John Carter leading change. It's the eight steps of change. And that's around organizational change. So what I'm seeing as a new normal or the new model is a blending of that. Right now you've got PROSCI teaching individual people how to change, but not necessarily taking into account the organizational change itself. So I think the blending of those two methodologies is what's needed moving forward.
Yeah, and that hasn't happened. Like you're the tip of the sword when it's trying to blend this two together.
No, what I would say is everybody I've talked to, I shouldn't say everybody. I'd probably say 30% of the people I've talked to have formal their own sort of change management groups within the company, and they may use PROSCI. They may use Lean Six Sigma. They may use a Carter methodology. And so some of them have their own methodologies. But what I'm talking about here is, you know, what are the baseline things that people can be using and how do you put it out there? In my goal is to get it out to our community of practice, which are asset management and reliability practitioners, in a way that they could use it. So it's a very focused effort in our industry to look at this, where ADCAR and Carter, they're very generic and can be used across all industries in a variety of ways. So I'm trying to bring something that we can bring forth into the asset management and reliability space, which will be awareness around those models.
Yeah.
Maybe also some sort of a tips and tricks. Sort of what the book does here is it takes my personal experiences and puts it into context with simple things you can do, where those books talk in theory, if you will. And what my book tends to do is put that theory into practical examples so you can relate to, oh, when they said that, they meant this because John did something like this. Oh, I get it now. So that's sort of put in practical applications.
Yeah. By the way, listeners out there, hey, where can I get your book?
You can buy it on Amazon.
Oh.
It's called Why Execution Fails and What to Do About It.
If you're watching it on video, he keeps on flashing it up.
I have a website my daughter built me. It's called johnwfortin.com. You can go on there and you can look at the book. I have a free poster on the website you can download. It's got the five sustainable steps for, and so it's sort of a summary of the book, if you will.
Well, of course, I'm gonna snag all that and put it on my website because I want to get the glory for me. No, I'm not.
Sure.
I'm just going to, whatever, you know.
It's free. It's free. Go for it.
It's free. Hey, I'll just scratch out your name, put my name in there. Look at this. Scott's a big thinker.
Hey, you got a book too, Scott. I saw it on your website.
It's happening. It's moving. It's about the heart. Let me ask you this. So, because of the data saying, you know, like 70%, that's a nasty number of failure. Will the principles that you are interviewing these executives and the principles that you gain from this interview, do you find that there will be a good financial benefit associated with that?
Yeah, right. So the premise of the book was that Terry O'Hanlon, who runs Reliability Web, has a couple hundred awards a year. And 10 of my clients won his awards. And he came up to me and I was new to the organization. He said, well, John, who are you and what do you do? I said, well, I'm the change management guy. And he said, wow, he said, I need a book on that. So that was the premise of the book. And so the folks that won the awards were able to demonstrate return on investment. These are very tough awards to receive. And so to me, it was very helpful. And for Terry, it was like, hey, you've got something there, Mr. Ford. And so let's get that published so people can learn the tips and tricks and be successful and get that return on investment.
Like it, like it. Now, here's one of the questions I have. It's all great, wonderful, and you got this program that's it's change management. We have the approval of executives. We're rocking and rolling. However, mm-hmm. How do you sustain it?
Yeah, well, it's the adoption of the folks in the field that. So a good example would be that when I was in industry, we got some cross-functional teams together. So people from all over the organization to come to solve problems, not just the maintenance department, not just finance. They came together to learn. And many, the first time they actually met each other in like 5 or 10 years of being in the business. And so you got the groups of people that are going to use in the business process. They are what I call co-authors. It's not John Fortin sitting in a room behind a door creating this new process and going to launch it out over the fence. So having them involved and believing in it and being, I call them co-authors, was perfect. So we had a very big program going in Boston. We had about 10 teams going at once, and our executive sponsor left the company, retired, and everyone went, oh no, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Because of that groundwork, and I didn't know this at the time, was that everyone, because they were believers, because they were co-authors, the thing just rolled on. It rolled on. And so the quote is, involvement breeds commitment. And that's one of the things we're learning in the research, is that you've got to involve people to be co-authors. As many of our organizations are made up of engineers very much like to get the formula right before they bring it out to the masses.
Oh, big time.
Formula GE uses, it's called Q times A equals E. So the quality of the initiative times the acceptance of the initiative equals the effectiveness of implementation. And with engineers, they focus all on the Q, quality. A is talking to people, getting people involved. They don't do that. So a 10 times a 1 is a 10 for effectiveness.
Yeah.
But if you got an 8 times an 8, you got a 64. So it's a very simple formula that I always call my client. I say, hey, are you working on the A? And that's a cultural piece.
Yeah, and in light of what we're dealing with today, I mean, I think right now it's vitally important. You got to reach out. You got to have that conversation. And it's not going to be perfect.
Right.
As long as you have that commitment to continue to improve or have a commitment to do that. I mean, that's real important. And I think your points are really interesting. You share the results, you build upon them, which is important, right? Mm-hmm. And share them as much as needed with to learning as soon as possible. I mean, those are great, great points. I can't speak enough about what's taking place. But change management is critical and vital right now.
Yes.
You can come on in and take care of Industrial Talk. All it would be is like a beer between us two. Sure.
We have fun, though.
Yeah, I'm here to change. Thank you very much. I got great quality, and we're talking, so that's a 10.
Yes. Yes, sir.
But anyway, now, are you active out on LinkedIn?
Yes, I am.
Now, if somebody reaches out to you and said, hey, John, you're not going to blow them off like you blew me off, right?
No, absolutely not. I will tell you, though, I don't get on there. It's not linked to like an automatic alarm when someone looks at my profile. I'm more of a passive sort of person that looks at it. You know, so it's a great tool. I like to connect with people and share. And so, yeah, I'm happy to help anybody that wants to reach out on LinkedIn. But,
yeah, and I think that's important. And then we'll also have a link to your book, any other things that we can possibly put on your particular platform, all there, all good. Do you have an issue with your email being published?
No, I don't.
Then we'll put your email out there. So that might be a good way of getting in contact with you. What about your cell phone? Just kidding.
Well, my email is the John W. Fortin at yahoo.com email.
Oh, very good. There you have it, man. All right, listeners, look at that, man. Real time. John, you were absolutely wonderful, even though we had a little bit of a glitch.
And sorry,
it wasn't my fault. So you need to do a little root cause analysis to get that done and then figure that out. And then go through a change management process so that the plug will not come out of the wall again.
Well, that's not real scary, but yeah, it's a temporary office where the plug was taken out by someone else and I plugged in. So, no. Oh, well.
Oh, well is right. Hey, John, thank you very much. And you listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. So do not go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, I can't say this enough. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Once again, this platform dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. That was John Fortin. He is with Jacobs Engineering. And you know what? His stat card, very powerful, very impressive. And once again, he is the global technology lead in asset management at that organization. We were talking about, once again, change management. It is a time for change, most definitely. And then again, there's no excuse. Go to iiot-world.com. They have a virtual conference, and it is sponsored by Hitachi Eventara. It is May 21st at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It is Be Ready to Scale Digital for Manufacturing 4.0 through challenging times. And I'm telling you right now, digitization is not going away. You need to continue to learn. You need to collaborate. You need to take action. You need to innovate. These things have got to be done yesterday. It is a sense of urgency, and you're going to fail. You're going to feel uncomfortable. Keep pressing on. And Hitachi Ventara, they're a leader in digitization. Absolutely they are. They're passionate about your success. Incredible people. Incredible company. You can't go wrong with this conference. And thank you very much. Go to industrialtalk.com. Find out more. We've got stuff out there to help you to be a better company. And it's just there because we want you to succeed. Take care.